So we are almost approaching the end of this beautiful 11th chapter called Vibhuti Yoga, the cosmic form of the Lord. And in the beginning of the chapter, Arjuna requests Krishna. He says, Manyase yadi tat shakyum maya drashtum iti prabho yogeshwara tato metvam darshayatmanam avyayam. He says, O Lord, if you think I am worthy of it, if you think I am capable of it, I request you to show me the cosmic form, because in the 7th, 8th and 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he had heard about the Brahman, the consciousness, and how the whole world is sustained in that. And Sri Krishna says, I am that Brahman, I am that consciousness who has appeared in this beautiful form of the blue boy of Vrindavan, as Gurudev calls him. And in the 10th chapter, he had seen Krishna demonstrate how I am the best in everything. I am in everything, but wherever you see anything glorious, anything beautiful, I am there. And so he says, can I see everything in you? You told me you are in everything, but is also everything in you? And I wish a practical demonstration. I've heard in theory, but I want to actually see it. It's like you have heard that hydrochloride with sodium bicarbonate, when you combine, it makes sodium chloride and the CO2 gas escapes. But until you actually do it in the laboratory and then you see the bubbles and then you analyze, then you say, okay, you know, what was in the theory we have. So in the 11th chapter is a practical demonstration of the Upanishads. Because the Upanishads say that there is one Brahman, one consciousness that sustains everything. Everything emerges in that, is sustained in that, and then merges back into that consciousness. And this universe is nothing but that one consciousness expressing in different names and forms, as different humans, as animals, as birds, as plants. Even the inanimate objects all are a manifestation of that. And so this is a practical demonstration where Arjuna actually sees it. The wise people, the saints and the prophets have experienced in their meditation. And you and I, we have not yet experienced it, but we are trying to. So through Arjuna's eyes, we can actually see what Arjuna saw in this description, and we can visualize, and especially with Gurudev's beautiful commentary, he kind of brings it very vividly to us. So that is why this beauty of this chapter is that you can see that oneness in that totality is that oneness alone. And so having seen that, Krishna shows him that. Can open the door, please. I think somebody's. No, it's open. So Krishna shows him that form, but then he also sees the frightful form of the Lord, where he is not only the creator, but he's also the destroyer, where everything is merging back into it. And he sees the horrible face, the wide open mouth, and with fire burning, and all the people going into it and finishing. And he says, what is this horrible form I am seeing? So on the one hand, he sees everything beautiful happening. And that's what they say, whatever is beautiful is the Lord, and whatever is horrible is also the Lord. The good and the bad, everything is that one Lord appearing in different forms. And so he gets afraid. On the one hand, he's very thrilled and he's very happy, and he's in that stuti he does in that prayer from verse 36 onwards. He's full of adoration and full of love and full of respect for the Lord. But then also he has mixed emotions. He's also seeing the fearful aspect, and his limited mind and intellect cannot handle that vastness. And it's not that he's seeing it outside. You may think, oh, Krishna and Arjuna were sitting here and then the cosmic form was outside. No, he sees the cosmic form enveloping everything, and he sees himself and Krishna and the chariot in that. So he feels that I'm engulfed in that, and he sees the whole battlefield. And not only that, but in the past what happened, and in the future who is going to die. And everything is in that, and he finds himself in that too. It's not like he's sitting and watching a movie and say, okay, this is happening. So he feels so baffled and so bewildered and so confused and so scared that he says, okay, you know, I have enough of that. I do not wish to see that totality. I want to see you back in that beautiful form of Krishna standing there playing the flute and, you know, wearing that yellow garment and with that smile on his face and the peacock feather. I want to see that. I don't want to see. So Krishna says, okay, that in the 47th and 48th verse, he says, this form I have seen, shown to you, nobody beside you has seen it. What he meant was that a person with your mental state where you are in the middle of the war, you have not studied, you have not meditated, and I still showed you that form which great saints and rishis have seen it, but after years of study and single-pointed, that is because of my grace. But now he says, I will go back to my original form that you want me to see. So he says, this we will do in the first 49th verse, chapter 49. Māte vyathā mā ca vimūḍa bhāvah. Drishtvā rūpam ghoram idram amedam. Vyapeta bhīv prītam anāv punastvam. Tadeva me rūpam idam prapashya. So the Lord says, Māte vyathā, don't become sad. Vyatha means sad, do not be stressed. Vyatha also means stressed, agitated. So he was not only sad, but he was stressed out and very fearful. And macha vimudha bhava. Vimudha means confused. Do not be confused. Do not have your mind confused, because you are like, what am I seeing? What, you know, it's like, what have I got myself into? Sometimes, you know, your person thinks, you ask for, like they say, you know, be careful what you ask for, because you might actually get it. And that's what happened to him, that he saw that form which he was not yet prepared for mentally and physically. So he says, do not be upset, do not be agitated, do not be confused. Drishtva rupam ghoram idruk mama idam. Drishtva, having seen this rupam ghoram, this scary form of mine, mama idam, this scary form of mind that you saw, do not be afraid. Vyapeta bhiv, and become fearless, and pritam na, and become cheerful, become happy. I don't want it, because Krishna loves Arjuna. He is his friend, he is his student, and he says, do not be afraid. I did not do this to scare you. I just wanted you to see the grandeur, because very few people have ever seen that. And later on he will talk about, even the devas, even the gods in heaven have not seen this particular form that I showed it to you. And besides you, there was only one other person. And even the thousands of people in the battlefield couldn't see it, even though it was happening in front of their eyes, because Krishna had created this magical, illusory, where he had given that special vision to Arjuna, but only Arjuna could see that form. And the rest of them were seeing the battle as it is, or people are getting ready for battle. And it said that even though it's 55 verses, it only happened for a few seconds. It was just for a few seconds Arjuna's mind was in that realm. But see, the Lord has the ability to stretch time. You know, he has the ability to. So in that few seconds, Arjuna experienced that whole thing, which for him, it might have taken several minutes or hours, you know, that whole thing was happening and he was talking and seeing and describing and all that. So that is the maya, the illusory maya of the Lord, where he has the infinite capacity, because everything is him. He creates time, he creates this world. So he is, of course, Sarva Shaktiman. He's omnipotent. He can do anything he wants. So that was it was like a magical world he created, where he showed him that form, and which actually is, because we all are in that cosmic form, even though we don't know it. Arjuna saw it, but in reality we are all in that lap of the Lord. You know, where are we? We are standing where the Lord is. Lord is everywhere. He is within and without us. He is supporting everything, the whole universe, and every one of us. We are breathing, walking, talking, because the Lord is in every cell. We have 4 billion cells, and they are all multiplying, and they are all growing, and they are all functioning, and they are all coordinating with each other, the digestive system and the respiratory. How is that happening? Because the Lord is in every cell. So he says, do not be afraid. Why? Because you can now see my tadeva tad evam, that form me rupam idam prapashya. Prapashya means see my original form. Now this verse, you may think, okay, you know, Krishna showed him the form. But Gurudev, in his commentary, I'll try to expand a little bit upon that. He has touched briefly upon that. There are 2 or 3 points in this. First of all, as we said, the good and bad, everything is the Lord himself. You say, well, is he there in, you know, in Hitler and Mussolini? Yes. Is he there in the mass murderer? Yes. Is he in the saint? Is he in Tukaram or Saint Francis or Mirabai or Narsi Mehta? Yes, he is in all of them. So then why are people different? And also, is he there in the people who are happy and people who are rich and people who are glorious? Yes. Is he there in the people who are unhappy, who are suffering, who are miserable? Yes. Is he in the handicapped? Yes. Is he in the Einstein? Yes. So if he is in everything and everything is him appearing in different shapes and forms, then why do we see this variety? Why are people so, even in this room, nobody even remotely resembles anybody else, not only physically, but even in our thoughts, in our emotions, in our ideas. So part of it is, of course, his infinite variety. You know, he has this capacity to create infinite forms. But also each one of us is a product of our karmas. Each one of us is a product of our past actions. And because of our past actions with our body and our emotions and our thoughts, we create vasanas, we create tendencies and habits and character. And so each one of us is a manifestation of our karmas and our vasanas. It is because of my... See, I, even though I was born in India, I must have had some vasana to go to the United States. So all the way I flew here in 1974 and then came and sat, and somehow I found myself in Bakersfield. So there must have been some connection, you know, with the people in Bakersfield that brought me here. So each one of us, and so whether you are good or bad is a reflection of your vasanas. Whether you are happy or unhappy is a result of your karmas, of your actions. So if somebody is suffering, then he or she is suffering as a result of their past actions. If somebody is happy, it is a result of their past actions. The Lord does not take part in the creation. I mean, he creates the world, but we make our own blueprint. I decide how my life is going to be, not only in this life, but in my future lifetimes too. Based on my actions in this lifetime, I decide what not only my this life is going to be, what my old age is going to be, but what my next life will be. So my present life was created by me in my past life. It is not he who decides, okay, I'll punish this guy. So that is the beauty of this chapter, that you can see the good and the bad, everything in that one Lord. He sustains everything. But he does not participate in the result of the actions. It is you who get it. The second aspect of this verse is that it shows us that Mahavakya Tattvam Asi, that thou art. Now the Upanishads say that you are that consciousness. As we said, when everything has emerged from that one consciousness, then everything is that one. Just as there is one giant ocean, the Pacific Ocean, which extends for, say, a few thousand miles, And there are numerous waves arising, small waves, big waves, you know, whirlpools, all that, you know, the tsunamis, everything is arising. But everything is what? Just that one water. It is one water which is there as the giant ocean, and is also there as the small wave, as there as the, you know, ripple. So the small wave can say, I'm a little wave, and this is a huge ocean which created me. Okay, that is one way. That is the Dvaita way, that, oh, I am this helpless little creature, and there is this almighty God who created me, and I love him, adore him. That's very good. Nothing wrong with that. And that is a good way to start your spiritual journey, that I am this creature, oh Lord, you have created me, you have given me everything, and I love you, and please take care of me, take care of my dear ones. And so that is one way. And then I become a servant of the Lord, and I serve the world and try to make the world happy. But Vedanta says that you need to go one step higher. The wave, throughout its life, if it remains a wave, then it has not progressed. Okay, wave is born and dies. So what? Where did you reach? But if the wave says, I am water, I am actually water who at this moment appeared as this wave. The wave came and left, but I, the water, am the same. Nothing happened to me. The water is not born or died. The wave is born or died. Not only that, the water, when the wave says, I am water and this ocean is also water, then the ocean and I are one. And temporarily I took the form of a wave, but whether the wave is born or die, I as the water, I don't die. But even the whole ocean and me are one. So that is the further step in the spiritual journey, where through contemplation, through meditation, through prayer, and through service, when your mind becomes purer and your vasanas get reduced and your negative tendencies get reduced, then you experience that oneness with the reality within, and then you experience the oneness with all. So one way is to say, I am this body, mind, and intellect. My name is Anil or Pankaj or Diana or whatever my name is. I am a male or a female. I am Indian American. And then I function in the world as a servant of the Lord and serve him. That's very good. There's nothing wrong with that. But then slowly, slowly, especially through meditation, you can come to experience that quietude. And in that quietude, but then people say, I say I am that. Okay, Upanishad says, you are that, I accepted it. Okay, I am that. And I go around saying, I am that, I am that, I am that. That's good. You know, that's a very good thought to have. Because when you make that the main thought in your life, then only you will reach that. Until then, you will always have this feeling of separation, that God is somebody far away and I am here. But then why don't I experience it? I keep saying I am that, but I don't feel that I am that all-pervading reality, that I am that spirit. I still feel I am this body. And as long as you have this body, mind, and intellect, it becomes very difficult to go beyond that. But the saints have done it. Jesus said, the Father in heaven and I are one. And he didn't just say it. It's not that he just got up one morning and said it. After years of meditation and travel and study and contemplation and all that, because there was this period, I think, of 14 or 18 years when Jesus disappeared and nobody knew where he went. And it is said that he went, some people say he went to India to study or wherever he studied, but he, for several years, he studied and then he came to that conclusion, I am that. Aham Brahmasmi, he said that. When he said, he who had seen me had seen the Father, what he meant was that I am a manifestation of that reality. And that's what all the saints say. Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvamasi, you are that. So through contemplation, through meditation, and also through service, by doing service, helping others, you are reducing your vasanas. By constant remembrance of the Lord, by doing constant prayer, every morning you get up and pray to him at night before you go to sleep. Remember him as often as you can throughout the day. So the more and more you remember him, the more he cleans your mind, and the more he he destroys your vastness. And through the right knowledge, through reading Bhagavad Gita, through listening to all the Swamijis who come here, reading Swami Chinmayanandaji's commentary, you will understand I am not this individual being, but I am that consciousness. And then the fastest way to reach that is through meditation. And I think the path of meditation is the best. Everybody has to meditate. If you want to go beyond, otherwise you can continue. Okay, I'm here. I'm a good person. I don't hurt anybody. I serve the Lord. And I do puja every morning. And I pray and I offer flowers. Wonderful. That's very nice. But if you want to go beyond it, to that higher state, you have to meditate. Again and again, all the Swamijis have told us, and at least I never used to for many years, but around 1995 I started, and I have noticed the benefit of that in my own life and in how I deal with worldly situations. And we do have a class Thursday night at 6:30 where we do meditation and discuss some books. We also have books related to meditation in the office. You can buy and read and practice. So then slowly, slowly, your mind will become purer. And in that pure mind, you will get that experience of that oneness. That's what Krishna wanted Arjuna to see, that this all-pervading reality and that the picture you see on your right, Krishna, they are one. I am that. Aham Brahmasmi. Krishna wanted Arjuna to see that so that Arjuna can also get the thirst to experience it. You know, what all the great saints have experienced, you and I should also have that desire. And that's what they say. What is the difference between a wise man and an average man? And you can say fool or a useless person. A wise person says, I want to realize here and now. I want to know the truth right now. I want to experience that. I want to see that cosmic form. I want to see Krishna right here and now, not in the future, not next life. The average person says, dekh lenge, you know, theek hai, you know, maybe at the end of this life, maybe after I get older, you know, then I will have time. Maybe then I will learn how to meditate. Or Hindus, we say, next life, you know. I don't think in this life I can. And the useless one, he says, forget it. Where is God? I have not seen God. And who cares? Let me enjoy my life. Khao, piyo, maja karo. Let me have a good time. So that is the beauty of this verse, that he shows him the form and he teaches him that Mahavakya, Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvam Asi. Yeah, no, because everything is him. Even the terrible things are happening even now. People are being slaughtered in Africa and wars are going on. And, you know, people are killing each other. So that is all him too. The terrible is also him.
On earth, you don't expect...
In that form. No, but in that form, he saw good and bad things happening. Because, see, what he saw was this wide open mouth of the Lord, if you read the verse. And in that mouth, there is fire and these people are going in. Yatha nadi nam bahavom buvega samudram eva bimukhadravanti. He says, just as in the ocean, when the ocean is open, all the rivers go and merge into it. Yatha praditam jalanam patanga. Just as when the fire is there, all the moths go to burn in the fire. That's how I see your mouth wide open and all these line of people are going to get burnt. What is this horrible form? Which is that all of us eventually are going to go into the mouth of the Lord and get burnt. And get killed. So that is, he actually, it's like a demonstration of what's happening in all over the world. He shows him that. It's beautiful actually to visualize that and to, you know, to think about it. And it's Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. Kavabhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Pyavanam. Hari Om.